This episode of WDW Today is being sponsored by touringplans.com. And happy 2014. You know what that means with 2014 finally here? That Disney World trip you've been looking forward to is right around the corner. And you know what? The last thing you want to do is get to Walt Disney World finally and then wait in really long lines. After all, it just seems like Disney World's more and more crowded, even more crowded than ever. But the good news is touringplans.com has the tools and resources for you to see everything and doing everything without waiting for everything. And you know what? We've got a special code for you just for right now. If you use code ZUZU2014, ZUZU2014, you will save 21% off a subscription to touringplans.com. I mean, that means just a subscription is a few dollars, and that will make your next trip all the much better. Check them out right now, touringplans.com.
This is Walt Disney World Today. Give us 5 minutes and we'll give you the world.
It's Monday, November 3rd, and this is episode 1416 of WDW Today. I am your co-host for today. I'm your co-host for today. I'm Mike Scopa from Mickey Miles Podcast. And on the show today, always ready, always willing, always able, Lent Tester from touringplans.com. How are you doing, Lent?
How's it going, Scopa?
Okay, he's also from if you don't know by now, he's been living in a cave. He's the co-author of The Unofficial Guide to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney on Mars, Disney in the Milky Way Galaxy.
Whatever.
And to fill out today's show, because we really don't have room for any more, is the man who's been bringing us Disney music and brings me Disney music every day when I'm in work and I'm falling asleep and I need something to pep me up. None other than Mike Newell of Mouse World Radio. Michael, how are you?
I fill it out kind of nicely, don't you think?
Yes, I think you do. I think you do. So we have a skeleton crew tonight, you might say. It's the night before Halloween when we're recording this. And Len came up with an interesting topic for us to talk about. Len, I'm going to let you introduce the topic because it was your brainchild.
Actually, it was the brainchild of one Steve Bloom, our statistician. We were talking the other day during our weekly staff call. He's like, "Yeah, this would be a great topic," but I'll completely take credit for it as I do for all of my staffs. work. yeah, and the idea is this: what are we most looking forward to seeing in Walt Disney World in 2015? And I thought it was good. It was a nice positive topic to start off the month. It should be good for us. And I'll even go first. One of the things I'm really excited about is seeing the new hotels after the refurbishment. So we know Beach Club is going through a fairly lengthy refurbishment that started this month and going for 20 months, but the rooms are being done in pieces. And that's that should completely transform that part of the hotel. We're also seeing new refurbishments at Caribbean Beach, which we've talked about, with a new Murphy bed that'll now allow it to sleep five. And I think those are really good things for the resorts. You know, we all know that Disney's charging a premium for their rooms, and to be able to say that they're newly refurbished and in some cases sleep more people, which is good savings for families, that's a great thing. I'm really looking forward to that.
That's good. That's a good point. Mike, do you have anything?
I'm actually looking forward to the changes down in Downtown Disney, with the Disney Springs. I'm looking forward to actually getting a parking space.
I know, right? That actually opens up first three floors that open in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, so it should be open by reunion. Nice.
We can go and urinate in the corners to give it that old parking garage smell. Yes.
That should be a la Seinfeld. A la Seinfeld.
Yes, that'll be good. Actually, that should be a lot of fun having it having the parking garage there.
Yeah.
There are a ton of new restaurants opening up, and plus retail stuff too.
I'll tell you, when you drive down Buena Vista Drive, and when you drive down and when you see, just before you get to the first entrance, that if you're going to do Cirque, I mean, you take a look at Buena Vista Drive, and the angle and the perspective, it makes it look like a huge superhighway now. It's just amazing how that one structure really changes how everything looks. And if any of you listening have not been down in a year or so, it's be ready for a big change. I think, Len, that they wanted to get it open they wanted a couple of floors ready for the Christmas rush, probably.
Yeah, so you know? I think it's overall it's supposed to hold 4,000 cars, and I think the first three or four floors are supposed to be open. So several thousand cars should be open, within a couple of weeks.
4,000. Wow. Wow,
that's a lot of cars. Think about it. That's the 12,000 people right there. And for a mall, think about it. That's not the people coming by bus. That's not the people that are walking over from Saratoga or things like that. That's just people driving in. So
it's funny because one time I took a bus a boat from, was it last year when they started this? I took a boat and it was just me and the guy, just a couple of us on the boat and the guy doing the boat, and he told us 8,000. Maybe it was 4,000, but
I could be wrong. Maybe that. I think 8,000 is a lot.
That's a lot. But it's a huge structure. It's got to be the biggest structure in Walt Disney World. Excuse me. It has to be. It's huge. One of the things I'm looking for, and I think this is right at the top of my list, is I've been down there quite a bit over the last year, and I've seen this for a long time, and I am really, really looking forward to when they finish up all the work they're doing around the Central Plaza area at the end of Main Street and around the Cinderella Castle. I'm really looking forward to the Magic Kingdom not having any construction at all. With everything that's gone on the last several years with the Fantasyland expansion and now this, which is just, they have dug up everything. It's really going to be nice to see the crown jewel in place and not being tampered with. Facades on any of the buildings on Main Street or anywhere.
Construction cranes, yeah.
Yeah, I want everything to be. I don't want any construction going on. I can't remember the last time I have been in the Magic Kingdom and not one single construction project was being done. I don't remember that. So
2010, 2009?
Maybe nine.
I think New Fantasyland started in 2010, right?
Late ten.
So it'll be 5 years since we've been construction free in the Magic Kingdom. That being said, it's entirely possible they do some sort of, and I don't think this is true, but they could do stuff with like Autopia or the Tomorrowland Speedway or something like that to boost capacity a little bit more. I doubt it, but I think the attention is going to other parks. But yeah, it'll be great to see the Magic Kingdom done. I'm really excited to see how they do the that open area in the central hub. That should be interesting. I kind of miss the trees, but overall, I'm looking forward to it.
I'm thinking, Len, that somewhere down the line they'll put trees there, but they have to be careful of viewing spots and how they.
Yeah,
they might put something like some kind of like maybe I don't want to say shoulder high, but maybe waist high shrubs or something.
I think it might look a little stark. We'll see what happens, but. Yeah, we know they can landscape the heck out of anything, so that'll be good.
So, what else would you be looking for, Lynn, in 2015? What would draw you to Orlando in 2015?
There are a couple of things. I think one of the things that we see every late fall, early winter is the start of refurbishment season for all of the attractions, and it looks to be fairly extensive in every park but Epcot. And in particular, I think Under the Sea, Journey of the Little Mermaid, is getting its first extensive refurbishment since opening. So it's going to be now for a little more than a month into February. Yeah, so, Cinderella's Royal Table is going through a complete, a two-month refurbishment. I think we've actually said we've expected that one for a while. And we'll touch on it again in a second. But, Splash Mountain's going to get a new coat of paint, and that's going to be down for 3 weeks in January. It's just time to freshen up all of the attractions. So by the time you start to get crowds for spring, for things like spring break and Easter, the colors on the outside of all the attractions are going to pop. Most of the effects should work, and it should be really, really nice. The Cinderella's Royal Table thing is interesting. You think they're feeling any pressure there from Be Our Guest to sort of up the experience at Cinderella's because of the price difference?
Well, you could be right. I sense that there is competition among the restaurants, and I think that could be the case right there. It'll be interesting to see exactly what they do. I've only been up there like several times over the past 10, 20 years, and mm-hmm. I've been kind of underwhelmed.
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, for the money, it's it's not that great. And the fact that it's a little bit more than 2 months of refurbishment, they're not just changing out the tablecloths. I mean, that's not like they're just gonna hose everything. They're gonna do something different there, whether that's kitchen improvements to do new kinds of cuisine, whether it's a new menu, whether it's it's got to be new decor for the inside, or at least some tweaked decor for the inside. But or maybe it's some special effects. I wouldn't be surprised to see perhaps animated picture frames. The animated art like you see on the cruise ships, something like that. There's a lot of stuff that they could do. They could also do some crazy stuff with magic bands, like sense where you're sitting and bring the food out to you automatically.
You just said something that I've often wondered why they haven't put together a land version of Artist's Palette.
Especially in the studios.
Yeah,
in the studios. Yeah, it's a great
that makes sense.
Idea.
Yeah,
that's the problem. It makes sense.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Oh, that's a fantastic idea, Artist's Palette. Yeah, you could do a rotating thing. Oh, that'd be. Oh man, Hollywood Invite is probably already sold out. But yeah, you could. You should totally do that. That'd be great. That's a great idea.
Mike, anything else you can think of?
I know Len touched on it, but I'm really looking forward to seeing what they do with the poly once everything's done over there. So
I forgot about that. Yeah, and that should be late in 2015, right?
Probably
You think there's any chance of us getting a DVC on the the tube room? No, none.
No.
If any of our listeners have an extra room and with an extra bed in the water side villas,
we can all share one bed.
I'll sleep on the floor. I'm not above that. Oh, please. I'll bring the food and sleep on the floor. I'll bring the drinks, the food, and sleep on the floor.
I'll sleep in the bathtub again.
Again? Man, actually, I slept. I slept on the floor. The first time I stayed at the Waldorf, I slept on the floor.
Was it a comfy floor? I'm sure it was.
It wasn't bad, actually. I took the towels from the bathroom, and the towels are like, inch thick, 110% cotton.
Only the best.
Yeah, I know. They're fantastic. Actually, it was almost like a mattress. Let's put it this way. It was more comfortable than sleeping in Fort Wilderness.
Really?
With the towels? Yeah.
Wow.
I cranked the AC down. It was beautiful. Yeah. I didn't really have a great pillow, but other than that, and I had to get up like at 4 o'clock in the morning that day, so I only slept for like 5 hours. I was in bed, but yeah, that should be it. The Poly should be. I forgot about that with that hotel. That should be great.
One of the things that that I'm looking forward to, I think this is out of curiosity. I mean, we've heard a lot of discussion on this and rumors, and I want to see what's going on with the studios. I want to see what's going on with the Osborne lights specifically. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how things are going to look, a year from now. I'm probably going to do the Wine and Dine Half Marathon next November. So I know I'll be down there for November, probably be down there before then, sometime in late summer or whatever. But yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing what they're going to do with the Streets of America. I'm looking forward to seeing what they're going to do with Lights Motor Action, is it going to be around? I'm looking forward to seeing what they're going to do, how they're going to move things around. If there are other things that we've talked about that are going to really, surface. So that's another really big thing I'm looking forward to out of curiosity, more so out of curiosity than anything else.
Yeah, that's right. Because this time next year, we should know exactly what the studios is doing. With all this area that they're acquiring by closing other attractions, I mean they will have to have announced something by that point. I can't imagine them keeping the park in the current state that it's in without telling people what's planned. So in a year from now we should know, and I think it's a terribly kept secret that it's going to be some combination of Star Wars Land and perhaps Pixar Land, but to see it actually fleshed out, at least the initial set of ideas, as we saw with New Fantasyland, plans change, but at least to see the initial set of ideas, where they're thinking, and more importantly, to see the scope of their ambition, really, really interesting. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to that. You're right.
I got a question for both of you. Do you think we'll see Osborne's in 2015?
No.
Wow, really?
Not there. Not where it's at, no.
But will there be some form?
There will be lights. It either won't be called Osborne or it won't be where it's at.
Yeah, you had mentioned on another show, Len, something about a Christmas light reality show.
Yeah, so the so ABC does this Christmas light fights or something like that, some sort of show where people, homeowners, compete to put up the most spectacular set of Christmas light decorations. And what Disney is toying with is having the winner come down and doing their own set of lights, either somewhere in the studios, either on Streets of America or somewhere else. And that would be a tie-in for the show, because I think none of us have actually seen the show. So for Disney, it would be a huge promo. And it wouldn't be so much a promo for this current year, because then by the time that people get there and do it, it's time for next year. But they would start getting the word out to the people who really like Christmas lights that this is something to watch the following Christmas year. And again, it's dirt cheap to produce. The homeowners are putting up all of the lights and paying for the electricity themselves. It's really filming, editing, and producing that Disney's coming up with. But they don't have to write a script. Right. They don't have to pay actors. So it's something that they could do year after year after year.
So we've talked about things like the studios. We've talked about things like the Animal Kingdom. Not Animal Kingdom. We've talked about Magic Kingdom. Is there anything in Epcot that we're thinking that would be a carrot for anyone to munch on, to draw that person or persons to Walt Disney World? I mean, I know we've got the Maelstrom change, but other than that, there's really not much going over, and that's minor.
That's
really
going to be 2016. I think what'll be interesting to see with Epcot is when they start coming out with the details for Flower and Garden, to see how much food and wine influences that again this year. Remember, we saw over the last couple of years more and more food and wine going into Flower and Garden. So where it's I think we joke and call it now Suds and Buds, where it's both of those things. But to see how much more Disney pushes that angle of things would be really interesting. Spring is I think it'll still be a plant based show, but Disney's got this conflict where they make more money off the food and bev sales than they do off of the gardening stuff that they sell. So to see how far they take that, or if they come up with a new revenue source for it, maybe they start doing more experiences, like, ride a John Deere with Paula Deen or something like that. It's just an idea. Actually, that's going to be the name of my next album. Something like that, that'll be interesting to see if we can win.
I mean, one thing that comes to mind, it sounds to me it would be a simple thing, but I'm sure that if it were simple, then they would have done it by now, and that is bring a new film to Soarin'. And
it won't happen for a while.
It just boggles the mind.
Yeah.
What, Mike?
I'll never understand why they don't do that.
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of other priorities that no one wants to spend the money to do it, but that's fine. When Hong Kong opens and they have their Soarin', Shanghai opens and they have their Soarin', that'll be the time to do it. But the other thing I think that will be interesting to see is where Epcot's entertainment lineup lands.
Yes.
They're trying a lot of things. We've seen some interesting, I don't know if you guys saw this, but apparently the Lumberjack show schedule is not continuous for the rest of the month, for the rest of November. There are some dates at the end of the month that are open. Wow. Whether that's a portent of things to come or whether it's just a scheduling glitch in the Disney calendar, we'll see. But I think that we have not, the original set of entertainment that Disney announced this year will not be there in the same form next year.
Wow.
Len, when you say,
there's no way.
When you say the schedule for the Lumberjacks is changing, do you mean the end of November?
Yeah, at the end of November, the last time I checked, there were dates in which there was nothing scheduled for them.
I think there's a reason for that. I think that you're going to see a version of Off-Kilter. I think you're going to see Off-Kilter doing Christmas. I think they're going to be part of the holidays around the world.
You think Off-Kilter's going
to come back? I heard that from our mutual friend who works in Epcot deals with entertainment, yes.
They're going to bring back Off-Kilter.
But they're not going to be called Off-Kilter. They're going to be coming back as part of the around the holidays. At least that's what I was told, that they will be appearing again for holidays around the world, but not as off kilter. It's in some other form.
Off maybe. A ilter K.
Yeah. Ilter K, off K. Yeah. So maybe that's why. Maybe that's why they love
it. Oh, that'd be funny. Yeah. Do it that way. Off A ilter K.
It's going to be a reunion show. Okay.
Ow. Wow. That would be. Wow. That would be. I would drink a beer and watch them if that happened.
We might be able to see them at reunion. We might be able to see them at reunion.
I'm excited. I'm excited now for running around World Showcase doing our Agent P's World Showcase Adventure thing. I might have to hide. Oh, Toshi totally hide on the stage.
Find the
okay, everyone forget you heard that. Okay. All right. That would be cool. Hey, so anyway, I'm looking forward to seeing where the Epcot Entertainment lineup ends up. I'm also interested to see, go back to the studios, how much of an impact Disney's Big Hero 6 film has on the character greeting stuff. That's going to be interesting.
Yes. Well, they haven't really, they should begin, they should begin really heavy marketing of that.
See some stuff. They're on the cover of Wired now. There's a few other things that they can do, but yeah.
But I mean, TV and all that stuff. I mean, I think we probably, because it's coming out, right after Thanksgiving or right around Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
So it's right around that time where they should start unleashing the marketing machine. You know, the other day we talked about the restaurants, and we always think of food when we go down there. And I guess one of the things I'm looking forward to, and you mentioned it the other day, Len, all the things that are going down at the that are going to happen in Disney Springs. And one of the things was, what was it? The Patina Group has a Asian restaurant that they're going to be opening up.
Yeah, Morimoto's at I've eaten at Morimoto's restaurant in Philly. It's good.
So I'm looking forward to that. I was thinking that we could, you know, try to think about other restaurant changes that we're looking forward to. Obviously, we know that Cat Chorus Casino is gone, and it's going to be replaced by Trattoria Al Forno. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. It should be open soon, next couple of weeks.
For reunion.
Yeah, reunion.
Neapolitan style.
I've only got two more months left in my my no table service for 2014 vow, and I will have done it. Yeah.
Oh, landboy. They're going to have Neapolitan style pizza.
It's cool, but you actually make a pretty good pizza. I don't know that they would top that. That would be,
well, thank you, sir.
Yeah, that would be like my grandmother made. Now I'm thinking about the taste of the pizza. Yeah, but that'll be good. It'd be good to see that open. Like I said, the other Disney Springs stuff. I don't know how many more dining changes they could make to existing establishments. I mean, it's not like they're going to rip out, you know, the dining in the Animal Kingdom or, you know, in Epcot or anything like that wholesale. They're not going to.
But we know that the Disney Springs is going to have a whole bunch of new restaurants.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so. Yeah, counter service stuff, bars, yeah, all kinds of things. That's going to be super interesting, too.
Oh, that was the other thing. The what is that called? The L.A. Prop and Cinema Storage Shop. That's at the corner of Hollywood and Sunset Boulevard in the studios. That's closing, and that's going to reopen as the Trolley Car Cafe.
Oh, the Starbucks.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the school. They're going to be serving Starbucks, and yeah.
You know, I hope they follow the same pattern there that they did over at DCA with Buena Vista Street, because that was really number one. It's gorgeous. Number two, the Starbucks really fits in well. Number three, dude, that's like a 30-minute wait to get a coffee there. Yeah. It's super popular.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Think about that. That's going to be on the right side of the street as you're walking up. Yep. So people will just be able to dip in like they do at the Main Street Bakery or the Starbucks there, and grab a coffee and be on their way. Oh my God, yeah, there'll be like a 30-minute line there. They're going to need to fast pass that.
Yeah, Mike mentioned the Polynesian, Mike, and were you also thinking, Mike, of the Trader Sam?
Oh yeah,
thing, the grog.
Oh, grog. That's right. That's going to be huge too. You'll never be able to get in there. Yeah, but that should be a lot of fun. And it looks different than the Trader Sam's in Disneyland.
Which I'll be visiting in 2 weeks.
Have you been there yet?
I have been there a couple of times, yep.
Okay, all right,
it's going to be packed.
Yeah, all the time. You know? But the food there is pretty good, too, and the drinks are incredibly strong.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you the story about there about how I got drunk and tried to tell people, other people around me, how great pears the fruit were.
No, but I'd love to hear it.
So Laurel and I collect the this is another Len gets drunk story. So Laurel and I collect the mugs, that the cups that the specialty drinks come in. Some of them are skulls, some of them are tikis, and they're different colors, you know, blues, grays, oranges, stuff like that. And we were trying to collect, we try and drink two specialty drinks each every time we're in Trader Sam's so we can collect the series. Well, it turns out the last time we were there, they had all new cups, so we tried to get six of them, which meant we had to have three drinks in like an hour because we were there for some show thing, something we were doing. So the first drink I get was this pear-flavored thing. I really like pear-flavored drinks, and I didn't realize how strong it was, but I ordered something else right after that and drank that. And then it hit me all at once, and all I remember is ordering a third pear drink but in another cup and turning to the people to my right who I didn't know and saying, you know what's awesome about pears? They're color. They're brown, they're green, they're purple. They're all these different colors, and yet they're pears. And they didn't think this was anywhere near as amusing as I did. And I was like, this is the – I'm onto something here, right? And they didn't think it, but it was kind of funny.
How could they not?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they weren't as drunk as me.
Well, they were foreign, and they just didn't understand what you were saying.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. It could have been Jeopardy. I didn't even notice. Anyway, so we still have the cups and everything. It turned out really, really well. So
pears, huh?
Pears. You know what's awesome about pears? Of course, man.
They're red. They're green.
Exactly.
They're purple.
Did we mention anything? I thought, Len, you mentioned something about magic bands. What would happen in 2015 with magic bands? Where are they taking them?
I wouldn't be surprised if they integrated magic bands into Cinderella's Royal Table somehow. That the food either shows up magically based on your band, or the photos are automatic based on your band, or there's animation or personalization, you know, based on your band. They're charging you a premium. I think they're going to invest in the. I would be surprised if they invested more in the restaurant along the lines of personalization. Because right now, we've said this, I'm not entirely sure that Cinderella's Royal Table is worth the premium over Be Our Guest if you can get in. But to charge that kind of money, they really need a level of personalization that Be Our Guest doesn't have. And I think that's going to come through the Magic Band stuff. Again, it's a win-win, right? They can justify the charge that they're making. They can tell the shareholders, look, we've started rolling out personalization stuff for Magic Bands. And then they can publicize it. So I think that might be their thing.
I mean, it seems like every time you turn around, there's something different. I know that this is Monday. So last week, they began the linking of the Magic Bands with
Memory Maker.
The Unride Photo Pass.
Yeah.
So it's right.
Yeah.
So it's linked to your Disney Experience. And That's going to be interesting because it seems like every time I turn around, they're adding another functionality to the Magic Bands. I'm sure there's a limit to what those things can do, but it's becoming more and more appealing for guests to actually, you know, use the Magic Bands. And I think that Disney probably sees every functionality as a possible revenue stream, and this would be one, you know. So, you know, you get home and you still have them linked to your Disney Experience, and you say, you know, maybe I will get those photos. You don't want to spend the money while you're there, but you may want to spend it afterwards. So it'll be interesting to see in 2015 what other things or functionality or conveniences will be added to the Magic Bands. Is there anything else?
I wouldn't be surprised. No, I think we've covered everything. It's a good show.
Yeah,
good topic, Steve. Thanks.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Steve. We should add Steve on the show.
Oh, well. We totally should have.
Totally, totally, totally. Well, I guess that's it. As always, as Matt would say, if you have any questions, please send them to questions@WDWtoday. You can always go to our website and take a look at the show notes and listen to all our other episodes. And we invite you to, you know, send us questions because you never know. The question you may send in may be a question that a million people may want to be answered. So, Len, thank you for being here.
Thank you for hosting, Scuba.
Mike, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And recording. And Matt, wherever you are, good luck, bro. Good luck. So for Len Tesser and for Mike Newell, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the next show.
Stupid Judy, stupid energy.
This has been a production of Mouse World Radio.